I Eat Green with Bhavani, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome again to another afternoon of I Eat Green with Bhavani. I am Bhavani, and I am happy to join you every Wednesday and talk about what's in the garden, talk about what is in the news, give you some recipes, and invite someone on my show who has some insight and some knowledge in an area that I think my listeners will be interested. So I'm very happy today to have as my guest Dr. Linda Lancaster, and she is a board-certified homeopathic physician and naturopathic physician, and she is the founder of the Light Harmonics Institute. And I will be having her on the show around 5:15, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I want to talk to you about what's going on in the garden. For those of you that have a garden, you've probably been crazy trying to stay on top of the watering as I have. Even when the weathermen call for rain, it seems to skip over my garden and doesn't rain there. So if it rains, it's not even a measurable amount. I actually got this little rain gauge now in my garden so that I can see how much rain I get, so that I know whether I need to turn on the sprinklers or not. And it did not even register, so it was pretty disappointing in the rain area. But the garden itself is not disappointed at all. It is loving the sunshine, and my cucumbers are still out of control. My tomatoes are, there's just so many. As a matter of fact, I brought in baskets of all different colors and shapes of tomatoes into the studio today to share with my colleagues here. I have the purple Cherokees and the all these different heirlooms, big, beautiful yellow ones. I have the cutest cherry tomatoes. Instead of red cherry tomatoes, I have little yellow bell-shaped tomatoes. They're so cute and sweet. And also, my peaches are ripe. My peach tree is just going crazy. Every day I go out and, like, more peaches have gently fallen to the ground, and I collect them, and last night I had just had such a huge basket of peaches, I didn't know what to do with it, so of course I whipped together a peach blueberry pie, and that's one of the recipes I'm going to share with you in a little while. What else? I had lots of, I made some guacamole yesterday with all the tomatoes. You know, I love putting chunks of tomatoes into the guacamole, and of course it's a great place to also use your cilantro. What else can I do with the peaches? I made a peach basil marinade and baked some tofu in the oven in this peach basil marinade, and that was delicious. I'll share that with you. And cucumbers. The cucumbers are just amazing. You know, so I was trying to figure out what I can do with cucumbers, and so I did a little Google search on cucumbers, and I found out some interesting stuff that I thought I'd share with you. Did you know cucumbers contain most of the vitamins you need every day? Just one cucumber contains B1, 2, 3, 5, 6, folic acid, vitamin C, calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, and zinc. So anyway, if you're feeling tired in the afternoon, instead of a caffeinated drink, you can have a couple slices of cucumber, and it's a quick picker-upper. Good source of B vitamins and carbohydrates. And so that's a great thing to do. It says if your bathroom mirror is fogging up after a shower, try rubbing a cucumber slice along the mirror. It will eliminate the fog and provide a soothing spa-like fragrance. We all love that. And then for my garden, they said put a few slices of cucumbers in an aluminum tin. And the chemical reaction from the aluminum tin and the cucumbers is a scent that's undetectable to humans, but drives pests away. I haven't tried it yet, but I certainly am going to. They said especially grubs and slugs. What else? If you want to avoid a hangover or a terrible headache, eat a few cucumber slices before going to bed, and that will help your headache. Anyway, this was pretty interesting. Looking to fight off the afternoon or evening snacking binge. Cucumbers have been used for centuries to thwart off hunger. So try expanding what you do with cucumbers. What else? Out of WD-40, this was a new one, and need to fix a squeaky hinge, take a cucumber slice and rub it along the problematic hinge, and voila, the squeak is gone. Try that. So, of course, you know, cucumber slices are always great to put in your water. They add a nice scent instead of lemon to cucumbers. It's also great to put cucumber slices on your eyes to soothe tired eyes. So there's a lot of things you can do with all those extra cucumbers you might have. But if you do have extra things in the garden and you don't know what to do with them, I have been involved with a group of synagogues out on in the Long Island North Shore area. And months ago I talked to you about a program we started called From Our Table to Yours, where we're recovering leftover food from events, whether it's parties, shivas, weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, whatever. And we provide, you know, thousands of people with a list of shelters that where they can bring these leftover foods. Well, we've expanded it now from our garden to yours. So if you have leftover or too many tomatoes and you can't eat them quick enough, or cucumbers and you can't eat them quick enough, bring the bounty to a homeless shelter or to a battered women's shelter or something like that. So you can, you know, if you send me an email, Bhavani, Bhavani, at IE Green, I'd be happy to share some places you can bring that bounty to. Or Google it for your particular area. Of course, I'm only, you know, I'm in the Long Island, New York area, but there are people hungry everywhere. So if you have extra food in the garden, please don't let it go to waste. Please share it with those that could use it. A couple other things I want to share with you. Botany of Desire, great movie after the book that Michael Pollan wrote with the same name, Botany of Desire. We are showing it at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington on Tuesday, August 31st. So if you do live in this area, please come down there. Also this Saturday, I don't know how many of you got to listen in when I had my guest Wendy Crispell on. She is a wine specialist, and she is sponsoring an organic wine cruise this Saturday at 2:15 out of Pier 62. It's at the Chelsea Piers this Saturday at 2:15. I will be on board with some snack recipes, and she will be there talking about some organic wines. So if you are in the area and can join us for the organic wine cruise, come on down. That will be a good time. What else? Okay, so peaches. I noticed today in the New York Times, of course, Wednesday is my favorite day, the dining section. They had a peach ricotta crostini recipe. Looks great. Haven't tried it yet, but I do recommend giving it a try. Okay, so I want to share my recipes with you before I invite my guest on. And a lot of my recipes, you know, I've been in whatever I make, I've been adding to them whatever I have in the garden. So this Szechuan tempeh with broccoli, I, of course, now have added cherry tomatoes into the recipe so that I can use up some of the cherry tomatoes. The broccoli is also from my garden. I've been having some great broccoli. You know, once you cut off the heads of broccoli, the broccoli keeps you know, giving off little shoots all over the place. And so every day I go out and I have, you know, little flowerets of broccoli. It's kind of nice. I don't have to cut them into little flowerets. They are already God made that way. So it's wonderful. I just, you know, break off the little flowerets and they're ready to go. So this Szechuan tempeh with broccoli dish, you know, I've been making something similar for years, but I actually formed it into a recipe this past week for the cooking class I gave at Sur La Table in Manhasset. And it was a big success. Everybody loved it, so I'd like to share it with you. You want to have, for your ingredients, one package of tempeh. I usually use three-grain tempeh, but, of course, if you cannot have Wheat, you want to avoid the three-grain one because barley is in there. So you can just buy plain tempeh. Make sure it's organic, of course. Olive oil, one onion, one broccoli, one pint of cherry tomatoes, or 2 pints if you have a lot. 4 cloves of garlic, more if you like it a little more pungent. 1 tablespoon minced ginger. Also, you can up that to 2 if you'd like. 1 tablespoon dark sesame oil. 1 tablespoon mirin. And when I say mirin, that is Aji Mirin, which is a sweet rice wine. Careful not to buy something that is called mirin at the store, but if you look at the ingredients, it has corn syrup in it. Make sure that the only ingredients is rice wine. And that's it. Koji is in it, too, and that's fine. I'm not actually sure what that is, but that is in the Eden brand, Aji Mirin, which is an excellent brand. Hot sesame oil, 2 tablespoons tamari, 1/2 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, 1/2 teaspoon of organic cornstarch, and that just helps thicken the sauce. If you want to use arrowroot, you can use arrowroot or even kuzu, for that matter. And 1/2 cup of water. So you want to cut the tempeh in half lengthwise and then slice it into 1/4-inch strips. Now, tempeh, I know I've mentioned this before. Tempeh, because it's a fermented product, the flavor can be very strong for people. So if you saute it, cut it thin enough so that you get a nice crispy edge around the tempeh, it is more palatable to most people. So I recommend doing that whenever I'm cooking with tempeh. So you slice it into 1/4-inch strips so you actually can saute it and get a golden brown edge on each side. And after you saute that in the olive oil, you can take the tempeh out and lay it on some paper towel to absorb any of the extra oil. Meanwhile, you want to saute your onion in some olive oil until translucent. Add the broccoli, the garlic, and the ginger, and just cook it for about 5 minutes. Once it starts, you know, coming together, add the cherry tomatoes, the mirin, the sesame oil, and the hot sesame oil. And stir that up a little bit. When it starts getting really hot, you can add the red pepper flakes and the tamari. On the side, you want to dissolve the cornstarch in 1/2 cup of water. Okay, so it's 1/2 teaspoon of cornstarch and 1/2 cup of water. And then you add that to the mixture and let it cook for about 5 more minutes, and the sauce will thicken up a little bit. And, of course, add the tempeh back in. And just let it stew a little bit so that all the flavors come together and the tempeh takes on the flavor. You can adjust the hot sesame oil and the red pepper flakes for how spicy you like it. You can serve this with some brown rice, or you can serve it over some whole wheat noodles or brown rice noodles or soba noodles. All good. And so that's the Sichuan tempeh with broccoli. And then the other recipe I want to share with you is a peach blueberry pie. And as I said, my peach tree is just having a really good year. So I'm a happy woman. It's, you know, these are the kind of peaches that you remember from your childhood where you take a bite in and the juice just, like, you know, rolls and drips down your arm. And, you know, you have to eat over the sink because it's just so messy. They're delicious. So anyway, I blanched my peaches first just so I can easily peel the skin off. And to blanch peaches, bring a pot of water to a boil. Throw the peaches in and just let them boil for about 3 minutes. And if you let it go 5 minutes, that's fine too. But then you want to have a bowl of ice water right next to the pot and take each peach out one at a time and plunge it into the ice water. And the skin basically just about separates, and just take a knife and the peel will just peel right off. And then you cut the peaches into slices along the pit and then discard the pit, and you have beautifully sliced peaches. So you want to do that to prep it. And for the peach pie filling, you want about 6 to 7 peaches to 1 pint of organic blueberries. And if you'd like a little trick that somebody had shown me a while ago is if you grate one Granny Smith apple, you know, peel it and just grate a Granny Smith apple and squeeze the juice out, because you don't really want the juice from the apple, but just the pulp from the Granny Smith apple has a lot of natural pectin in it and will help hold the peach filling together and will help make it a little thicker. So that's something that you can use. I didn't have a Granny Smith apple yesterday, so I didn't use it, and the pie was still quite delicious. Might have been a little runnier than it would have been if I had the Granny Smith apple. So the ingredients for the filling are 6 to 7 organic peaches, 1 Granny Smith apple grated and then squeezed out, just using the pulp, 1 pint of fresh organic blueberries, 1/3 cup honey or organic sugar. You can also use arame. You can use crystallized maple syrup, whatever you'd like to sweeten it. 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1.5 teaspoon cinnamon, and 3 tablespoons organic whole wheat pastry flour or white flour. And that also, when sprinkled in with the juices of the fruit, helps to thicken the juice. Okay, so to make the crust, you can, of course, can either buy a really good pie crust these days, either a whole wheat one or a combination, or you can make a pie crust. And fruit pie always likes to have a top on it, whether you weave the top or put a solid top on, or you can do a cobbler and make a crumble top. But this recipe makes is enough for 2 pies, so it's actually 4 crusts, okay? So it's 2 cups of organic whole wheat pastry flour, 2 cups of organic unbleached white flour, 2 teaspoons salt, 2 sticks plus 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, and 1/2 cup plus 2 tablespoons cold water. Now, if you are someone that is avoiding dairy, you can substitute, instead of the butter, coconut oil. And that makes a really delicious flaky crust. And just use the same measurements, and it works perfectly. It's a little bit more delicate to work with, so it can be a little bit more challenging. So when you roll out a pastry crust, when you've used coconut oil, you might want to do that on top of some wax paper or parchment paper, and it will just make it a little easier for you to move it around. Okay, so to make the crust, with a pastry knife, you cut into the butter. You put all the flour into a bowl with the salt. Cut the butter with a pastry knife until it looks like little pebbles. Make a well in the center and pour in the water. And then using your hands, you want to mix the flour and water together until it forms a dough. You're not stirring this. You know, when you're making a crust, you're really kind of reaching your hands down into the bowl and fluffing up the dry so that it mixes with the wet until it all gets moist and you can form a bowl together. But you don't want to mix the pastry, because that will make the crust tough instead of flaky. Okay, and then you make a ball. Like I said, this is enough for 4 crusts, for 2 pies, a top and a bottom for each. Form it into 4 balls, and then you roll it out. And you roll it out starting from the center. And as I'm rolling out my pie shell, I am also, in addition to pressing down on the top, I'm also pushing in on the sides to keep the ball from cracking. So that the shape of the pie crust comes out really nice. And you're going to roll that out and then line it into a pie pan and add the filling, and then do the same for the top. And then you're going to pinch the top and the bottom crust together, going around the edges. You roll it under together and then pinch it between your thumb and your index finger to seal it. And that is it. Bake it in a 425 oven for 15 minutes. That will just seal the top. And then lower the oven to 375 and bake for about another 30 minutes until golden brown. You can brush the crust with either an egg yolk if you eat egg, or an egg yolk thinned out with a little half and half. Or you can just brush it with a little bit of oil, canola oil, and that will work as well. just to make the crust a little shiny. And that is it for my recipes this week. I know I have Linda on the phone now. So, Linda, are you there?
I sure am. How are you?
Good, Linda. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I was getting hungry with the recipe.
Oh, good. Well, give it a try. It's really good. I made it last night, and you know, eating it right out of the oven is it's just a real treat. Of course, you have to wait. You have to wait a little bit just so it can cool a little, but it was really a great little snack, and got to use up a lot of my peaches.
Good.
So I was looking at your website today, and it's just so exciting what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I wanted to just share with my listeners a little bit about who you are. So I have with me Dr. Linda Lancaster, and she's a board-certified naturopathic and homeopathic physician and founder of Light Harmonics Institute, which is a clinic and teaching center in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You've been practicing for over 30 years, is that correct?
That's correct.
And
1981.
And your work is energy medicine, which is new to me, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
But I
saw that you were Yogi Bhajan's personal physician for 7 years, and I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, good.
And you promote good diet, nutrition, and biodynamic foods, which I was really happy to hear about because I don't know if you know my background. I also am a Waldorf teacher.
Yeah, and, I do know that.
And studied up at Antioch. And my master's thesis I wrote all about, you know, school food and what kids are eating and what people should be eating and the philosophy of Rudolf Steiner and the foods that he recommended to get people's brains working and things like that.
The roots, right.
Mm-hmm. The roots and then the body and then the flower.
Mm-hmm. Well, I studied anthroposophical medicine for 5 or 6 years up in
Spring Valley.
Mm-hmm. And I also studied for a few years with Gerhard Schmidt, who, of course, wrote two
the
wonderful
nutrition
books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he wrote two wonderful books. And, you know, when you talk about biodynamic food, you're talking about food that has an energy to it. You know, the things that what we don't realize is that we need that extra etheric energy coming from our vegetables in order to nourish our etheric body. And our etheric body is really the vitality body. It's where we get our energy from. So once you, if you have food that is latent with pesticides and fungicides and fertilizers, it has no energy field.
Right.
You know, Steiner talks about the subtle energy. He talks about us having a physical body, which of course is our blood, our bones, our guts, and you know what you can tangibly touch. But besides the physical part, there is an etheric part, and that's the energy field. There is an etheric energy field that actually is intertwined in the physical, and that's the difference of making it alive or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the life force is in the etheric part of the physical body, and the life force in our biodynamic food has a strong life force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when you see the vegetables coming out of a biodynamic garden, it's just amazing. I mean, I actually, you know, I've done some biodynamic gardening. I have an organic garden, but I have the preparations at home, and I have not put them on yet. They're sitting there just because you have to, you know, you have to.
Well, I could recommend someone who can help you with that, who does a lot of work in biodynamic farming, who lives out on Long Island. She's one of my students, and she does the preps, and she can put them on for you.
Who's that?
Lorraine Cahill.
Uh-huh.
Her name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great.
Lorraine Cahill, and she's in Huntington.
Really?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I do have them, and you know, plan on using them, but I do have them in my compost.
Okay.
And you know, I've done some of the studies up at Pfeiffer Center, and I just know, you know, there is a difference without a doubt.
It's a one, and it's organic is most essential.
Uh huh.
Which means no pesticides and fertilizers. We want to use everything natural. But the next level of working with the planetary systems and planting at a certain time and giving the extra preps that the biodynamic people do, that brings it up another level.
Absolutely. It's like homeopathy for...
Yeah.
The garden.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how I think of it. It's like homeopathy mm-hmm. for the garden.
So I think it's essential that we have good food because it's like giving good fuel. You know, your car's not going to run if it doesn't have good fuel. So you want to be able to use food that's imbibed with this strong etheric force field because that is what we're nourishing. Besides nourishing our hunger,
mm-hmm.
besides eating food with your family and having a pleasant environment so that you're part of the community, so that you create a healthy community, there is that other level. It has to have, you have to have good, high powered food. So, and I'm not talking concentrated, you know, all these different
supplements,
fancy
right.
supplements and all. I'm talking about the real stuff, the food. My patients know that I'm a stickler for vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we nourish ourselves. And, you know, everybody talks about vitamins, but really where we're going to nourish ourselves is with our... with the minerals, and the vegetables is what carries the minerals.
Right.
And the minerals have an electromagnetic energy that actually feeds this electromagnetic etheric force field. So that's like the beginning of energy medicine.
Right, and I don't really believe that you can get that from supplements. What do you think?
Well, they're getting smarter because they're doing whole food supplements.
Uh-huh.
I think if you've got to have a ton of supplements, then there's something wrong. Then you better find out why your body is not digesting the food you're eating.
Uh-huh.
There are reasons for that.
Mm-hmm. But you should be able to get all
Absolutely.
The minerals you need from your food, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, if you're on a high level of stress, then I'll recommend an extra amount of B complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the pollutants that we're dealing with all the time, a lot of people have allergies and they can't tolerate the whole grain wheats and they can't get their whole grains, enough whole grains to actually nourish us with our B complex.
Uh-huh.
So it's the B complex that you have to supplement very often.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest has got to do with your liver, whether your liver is digesting. You know, your liver metabolizes your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats. So it's doing a heck of a lot of job, a heck of a lot of a big job.
Right.
However, if, you know, is it working properly? Ah.
Right.
That's a big
right. Well,
subject.
Well, I know on your
liver direction.
Well, I know on your website, you know, you talk about energy medicine.
Yes.
Which I guess is a lot of the etheric that we're talking about. But what is medical radius? I don't even know how you say it. Medical radioesthesia and
medical
radionics.
Radiesthesia and radionics.
What is that?
That's probably the best question you could have asked.
Good.
It's my way of analyzing. I take a blood spot and I analyze the crystalline structure of the blood. So I read the energy fields coming off the blood. So if I can find out if you've got imbalances in different organs, I can find out what's going on with your liver. I can find out whether it's parasites or fungus or virus or just clogged up or just an emotionally stressed liver or the person is not eating properly. I mean, there are so many reasons for why we don't feel well.
Do you ever find one that's healthy? Do you ever find one that's not clogged?
Good. I would say my patients are healthy.
Good.
Uh-huh. You know, but you want to know, is it coming from the mental plane? You know,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about energy and subtle energy, you're looking at when you're looking at a person, I mean, it's different than looking at a plant. A plant has two levels. I mean, and this is all Steiner, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Your plant has a physical body and an etheric field. Animals have a physical body, an etheric field, and an astral or an emotional field. People have a physical body, an etheric field, an astral field where our emotions sit, and then we have a mental field. And that mental field, you know, Steiner called it the egoic. It's the egoic body of where we connect to our spiritual connection. So we have a lot, we're complicated.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, and that's why it's our job to take care of the animals, to take care of the plants, because we're smart, we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is our responsibility as a human being. So in order, so you want to be able to connect with your higher spiritual field, connect, balanced enough that emotionally you can connect with your community. Etherically strong enough that we can withstand some of the onslaught of pollution that's here, such as radiation and chemicals and petrochemicals. I mean, you know, if you live near the Long Island Expressway, you're going to get fumes. You're going to get petrochemicals. And there are ways of neutralizing that. I'm really way out of what you asked me. You asked me about medical radiesthesia and radionics.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go back to that.
Okay.
Medical radiesthesia is my way of analyzing. Radionics is a system that teaches us how to send those energy medicines to people, even at a distance. Because if we believe that we are one, and our blood, and I have a sample of the blood, and I can actually connect with it anywhere on the planet. I don't have to have the person in front of me. It can be done by phone. It can be done. I can look and see, and also send energy treatment to the person in an emergency situation. I try to give my patients remedies to take orally and let them take responsibility. But every once in a while, you know, there is a situation where, oh my gosh, we got to do something quick, and I can do that. And that's the whole radionic subject, which gets very involved. So I teach that to students. I teach radionics as well as how to analyze what to do. You know, you can have all these things, but you got to find out what's going on. So you need to know what the cause of things are so that you can make the corrections.
Uh-huh. So how do you measure the heavy metals or the pesticides in food or water or air or whatever?
Well, I use something called a determination board. I put whatever I'm measuring in the center of a circle, which actually has copper wire around it so that it stays contained. If you create a circle around anything, you'll create a field, an energy field.
Mm-hmm.
So we can measure that energy field and go down lists of whether it's heavy, whether it's lead or arsenic or some kind of petrochemicals or fertilizers. So, yeah, I can kind of take any food from the store and find out if it's organic or not, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they say it is, but we don't really know.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, you only know if you're growing it yourself, which I know you are doing, which is great.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's, you know, you go to Whole Foods now, and it's every company in there is big, it's a big corporation.
Right, right.
It's, you know, General Mills and Heinz, and, you know, they just figured it out and took over everything. So I don't know what the, how often it's tested. I have question about it, you know.
Right, you know, when it was the small guy starting these smaller organic companies, you felt like they were coming to it with the right reason. And then when they're
mm-hmm.
bought out by these big corporations,
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the biggest example was Beechnut, you know. It's like Beechnut,
mm-hmm.
you know, when all of a sudden Beechnut came out with organic baby food, I was thinking, how can anyone trust them? I mean, these are the same guys that spent jail time for selling apple juice that was really artificially colored sugar water. You know, I mean, they're, you know, when the bottom line is what's most important to somebody, you know, the ideals change, and, you know, so it's good to be able to check it out, because you can't always trust it.
So I teach my mothers especially how to check for organic food.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I do like a class, and I teach them you can measure the energy field, and, you know, you don't want it to be in a low energy field. That means there's heavy metals blocking it. So, you know, it's a big subject. This is a big subject.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I recommend knowing your farmer, knowing your grower.
Of course. Uh-huh. That's
you
why...
You know, and if... Farmers market.
Perfect,
and we
right.
have food co-ops here. You know, I live in Santa Fe. I come to, as you know, I come to New York every month for about 10 days.
Uh-huh. And you see clients here, right?
In New York City. Yeah, I see my patients in New York City as well as in California. But for the most part, I'm here in Santa Fe. And Santa Fe is like, there aren't any restaurants that aren't using local grown.
Right, right. I mean, they live it there. I understand. But Linda, I need to take a break. Can you hold that? When we come back, I want you to give everybody your information so that if someone wants to schedule an appointment with you when you're in New York, they could do that.
Okay.
All right. Hold on a minute. We'll be back in a couple minutes, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
The Progressive Radio Network is looking to expand its programming, and we are looking for your ideas. If there's a subject that you are passionate about and we don't cover it, let us know. Give us a call at 646-307-4482 or email our program director, carolee@garynoll.com. That's K-A-R-A-L-E-E @garynoll.com. The Progressive Radio Network, the number one forum for progressive minds.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world, every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hey, loyal PRN listeners, do you have any broadcast industry experience? You listen to the Progressive Radio Network, you call into the Progressive Radio Network, and now you can even host your own show on the Progressive Radio Network. PRN is looking for talented, vibrant hosts for a plethora of new shows on various topics such as college life, Caribbean music, cooking, technology, senior citizen lifestyles, classical music, different cultures of the world, and conspiracy theories. If you have experience hosting programming in radio or television, and you have a progressive point of view, we have the perfect forum for you to have your voice be heard and air your progressive thoughts. Call 646-307-4482 or send us an email at carolee@garynoll.com. carolee@garynoll.com. The Progressive Radio Network, the number one forum for progressive minds.
Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green. I am here with my guest, Linda Lancaster, doctor of homeopathy and naturopathic medicine. And we've just been talking about how she works with her clients and how she measures metals and pesticides in food. And Linda, are you there?
I sure am.
Great. I also want to just say, if anybody has any questions for Dr. Linda or myself and you'd like to call in, the number here in the studio is 888-874-4888. And when we let off just before, I wanted to have Dr. Linda share with us her information so that I know. How often are you in New York?
I'm in New York about once a month.
Once a month.
For about 10 days.
Oh, that's quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it is quite a bit. Every once in a while I'll skip a month, but usually I'm there quite a bit. And my son comes with me. My son is a doctor of Oriental medicine.
Uh-huh.
And he takes patients as well. He's, you know, licensed in New York as well, and so he comes with me.
Uh-huh. And where do you practice out of when you're in New York?
We practice on 56th, East 56th, between 1st and 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, of course, my son John grew up going to Waldorf School, and I sent him off to Asia when he was 21.
Uh-huh.
And let him study with my mentors.
Uh-huh.
And so then he came back and did his doctorate in Oriental medicine, and so he travels with me and is my assistant as well as...
How great. Keep it in the family.
So uh-huh. If I'm not available, he is.
Uh-huh. And what Waldorf school did he go to?
Excuse me?
What Waldorf school?
Santa Fe.
In Santa Fe, uh-huh.
Yeah, Santa Fe, Waldorf.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. So, I came back one day. As soon as he went to school, he came back and he said, "So tell me, who is this Steiner?"
Uh-huh.
Little kid saying that. I go, okay, we're going to learn.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, you asked me also about energy medicine, and I think it's appropriate to say that the best of the energy medicine part is homeopathy. And that's the best example of it because, you know, you have these little white pills. What's in there? Nothing. It's energy.
Uh-huh.
The pills actually have energy. So it's medicines of energy. And that, they're so gentle that they can stimulate the vital force so the body can heal itself. And I'm a believer of that. I believe that the body has an innate ability to heal itself. You just got to get some of the things out of the way.
Right. Especially with children because they're so pure. And
mm-hmm.
It works like magic. I mean, I remember my kids just, you know, I'd never go leave home without my, you
mm-hmm.
know,
yeah.
Arnica, for instance, you know, because they played sports and I always had
Absolutely.
It with me. And anytime they'd fall, they'd go, "I need Arnica."
Yeah. I have an autistic clinic that I work with in Mexico,
uh-huh.
Just, you know, pro bono, you know, I just do it as a volunteer because they can't afford it, but we've sent a lot of vaccines down there, so I feel kind of responsible. So we treat those kids homeopathically and get incredible results.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the therapy, they have ongoing therapy, and so I come in every once in a while and just... see them, and we have about 80 kids that we work with,
mm-hmm.
you know, ongoingly.
Do you have a book that you recommend for people as a basic homeopathy guide?
Oh, there's so many out there.
I use the family medicine.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it depends on how deeply you want to go. You know, when I started reading homeopathy when I was a mother,
mm-hmm.
It was so fascinating to me that I just got myself a Materia Medica, which gives all the remedies, and I started really just learning the remedies. I was just fascinating.
That's what I did. That's the little briefcase or the big briefcase?
It's just a little book that looks like a little Bible.
Oh, okay.
With all the remedies in it that we use in homeopathy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in homeopathy, likes cure likes. So there would be, in the Materia Medica, you have the homeopathic remedy, and then it tells you what it will do. It's proven on human beings, so it's not an animal testing at all. And you take the remedy until you get the symptoms of what the remedy will do, and they start writing it down, and that's called proving the remedy. And those symptoms are in the book. So if you have symptoms that create a picture of the remedy, then you know that's the remedy that's going to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very simplified version. But it's just so fascinating to pick up any book on homeopathy. I mean, one of my favorite authors is George Vitulkis, who's a very dear friend of mine. In fact, you know, I'm going to be visiting with him in Greece in October. So George Vitulkis, of course, wrote Medicine of the 21st Century. And that's more the philosophy, because the philosophy of homeopathy is so holistic, that, and it's so, I don't know, it's just my most fascinating subject. If you said to me, what is the one thing that you could, that you would, you have to choose one thing, then I would choose homeopathy as my one therapy that I'm doing.
Right. And the thing that is so wonderful about homeopathy is that it is so accessible to everybody.
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean?
It is when in the low potencies for things like arnica and stomach aches and teething and so forth. But the higher potencies are really kept to the practitioners. You can change a person's life with homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them out of shock with homeopathy. You can relieve the mental strain. You can, constitutionally, you know, there are certain tendencies. Everybody has a tendency towards disease. And once we know what that tendency is, it's easy to treat homeopathically.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, when you first say energy medicine, I have to add homeopathy as the choice of medicine.
Right.
Because it's non-toxic.
Right, right. So if it doesn't work, there's no downside of it.
And I am in no way saying, you know, if there is something severe, not to go to the doctor. That's not it at all. But your first defense in your home is homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I meant by saying.
Jefferson had a homeopathic kit in his kitchen.
Uh-huh. And that's what I meant by saying it's so accessible.
It is accessible.
When I had kids, I went out and I bought this, you know, briefcase kit that had all the basic, you know, it is low remedy. Low potency.
Yeah,
it's 30 C's mostly.
Should be.
But,
which,
right, exactly, for the home mother, you know, your kid has a little stomach thing, you know, you don't have to. I mean, I used to know people that every time their kid complained about something, they were making an appointment, running to the doctor, and it's like, give them some, you know, Nux Vomica or whatever, you know, a little bit of a cough, you give the remedy for that. And you can, you know, in these guides that you can look up, it's empowering.
It responds so quickly. Yes,
yeah, it's empowering.
Really does. Yeah, just watch. You know, it takes an observant mother.
Right.
Or father, who understands what the remedies can do, and that's your first, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and there's a fever starts coming on, you want to have Belladonna 30C on hand.
Right, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Period.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, in our world, the way we are, we never know what's going to happen, and in an emergency situation, you want to have homeopathy in your pocket.
Right, right.
You really do.
Uh-huh.
You want to have good food and some homeopathic remedies and figure out what to do.
Right.
Have a method of analysis. You know, I'm trained in post-diagnosis and iridology and Tong and all of the rest of the typical naturopathic diagnostic tools.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a diagnostic tool so you know what's going on. I don't like guesswork.
And do you use them all together, integrate.
Yeah.
You do. You do.
Yeah.
So you don't prefer like one over the like.
Well,
the pulse
I prefer
or
medical radiesthesia because I go straight to the cellular structure of the person. Because when you're testing a blood sample, you're really reading the crystalline structure of their etheric force field.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little woo-woo, but it's not really because we can prove it now in quantum physics. I mean, I lecture at astrophysics conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fascinating. They're fascinated.
Right.
Because the method of analysis is very much within the realm of quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Creating an energy field and being able to measure that from in that way.
Uh-huh. And so when you see private clients, how do you work with them? Do you have them, do you draw blood first, or do you meet them first and you know, listen
all
to
all different
the...
ways. You know, I want to get a clinical picture.
Uh-huh.
I want them to tell me why they're here.
Right.
Well, not the bigger picture, just why they're here seeing me.
Uh-huh.
And I do that often, sorry. And then I will, it's only a finger prick.
Right.
And they can take their own finger prick and put it on piece of paper. I use a special paper, and it creates a pattern. I have the most fascinating thing that happens every once in a while. I prick the finger of a patient, and there, lo and behold, we put it there, and it was the perfect picture of a heart. I mean, and this guy happened to be very much in his heart, and, you know, that was like his whole energy was just heart. He's had problems with his heart as well, but also he works from that energy field.
Uh-huh.
And there it goes, right there.
The
just prick the finger, put it on the splat it on the filter paper, and there is a perfect heart made out of blood. It was that's always interesting
uh-huh.
when that happens.
Right.
I know
you work with, you know, in integrative medicine, you're also working sometimes with allopathic doctors. Do you work with allopathic doctors too?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
I have lots of allopathic doctors. I work with psychiatrists. I work with acupuncture, you know, DOMs. I work with osteopaths. I work with whoever the patient wants to work with.
Right.
And
right.
I give them my version of how I see things need to be, what direction things need to go in. And we can choose who makes the program, but most of the time I make a program and they monitor it with their own testing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very happy to do that.
Yeah,
I think
so much of the time now we have to also, you know, we're cleansing ourselves from the toxins from the other kinds of medicine that people are taking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and then you wind up getting a loop effect, you know, especially in psychotropic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You wind up, you know, they start to do better, you know, they start to clear out their shock and they're starting facing their life and then they're still on these meds. And then these meds, you get like a loop effect and like if you don't take them, so you have to go very, very gently, really, really slow. And I work with doctors taking their patients off of drugs. And you mentioned Nux Vomica. Nux Vomica is one of our biggest remedies to neutralize the detrimental effects of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you would know, because Nux is for clearing poisons.
Right, right.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes drugs are necessary. I'm not against anything. You know, whatever's needed is needed, but that's not a lifestyle.
Right. You know, I'm just, you know, you think, you know, you step back and you look at, like, what has changed? Why all of a sudden do we have all these children that need to be on these, you know, ADHD medicines or depression medicines?
Well, that's a whole subject. We need to have a talk just about that and why that's happening in the world today.
And sometimes I think people... You know, just they don't know what to do, so they feel like they need to do something. And so,
mm-hmm.
if you can give them something that's homeopathic, instead, so that they still feel like they're taking something, but they're taking something that actually is stimulating their own body to deal with the problem.
Yeah, and a lot of times, first we need to find out why the problem's there.
Mm-hmm.
Before we just try to correct it. Because you can, I don't like Band-Aids, you know.
Right.
I like to know, okay, why is this happening? Is it because the diet is filled with chemicals? Are they doing food coloring? All of those things that you know about.
Mm-hmm.
Or have they gotten a reaction from vaccines? Because there's so many vaccines today. We didn't have that many.
I know.
Although we had the live polio virus, which was not very nice.
Right.
But, you know, it's really causing shock in the brain and disturbing the brain function.
Right. And what I say to people all the time is, you know, they might be able to test a vaccination in isolation, but there's no way to be able to test all the interactions of a vaccination with everything else that people are taking.
And the constitutions of the children. I mean, sometimes there's a weak constitution, a child with a weak constitution, which is the type of child who is who's sensitive and who gets allergies.
Mm-hmm.
They will get an allergic reaction to the vaccine, and it goes straight to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause this. It's not only the metals in the vaccine, but just the fact that they're doing it. You're injecting different, we call them in homeopathy, nosodes, different disease processes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way they're preserved. It's the actual substance. I mean, it goes on and on. I have a lot of that research. One of the reasons why I started working down in looking at those kids is so that I was able to test, in my way of testing, to see what actually was in their blood system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a clear picture. So for anyone to say that vaccines do not affect kids and can have the possibility of causing autism, they're covering up something.
Yeah, well, you know, Gary Null has, you know, put out this great DVD called Autism Made in America. I don't
yeah.
know if you've seen
yeah.
it, but...
No, I haven't. I haven't seen Gary for years and years.
Uh-huh. But, you know, it's a great DVD. And, mm-hmm. you know, it really highlights a lot of the concerns that we're talking about with vaccinations. Well, and, I mean, you have to look at why all of a sudden are there so many autistic kids.
Well, we can do that, but then we have to decide that's good for the future. But we've got these kids who
right.
are really in trouble,
right.
and you have to unravel it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can't just do it all at once. Yes, you have to give them a perfectly clean diet. You have to detoxify and cleanse because it's always transmuting from viruses to candida to, I mean, it's just an onslaught of level upon level that needs to be addressed
mm-hmm.
for the autistic child, not only the autistic child, but for everyone.
I know.
My gosh.
I know. There's so much. Now, we're running out of time, but I would
okay.
like people to be able to get in touch with you. Can you share with everyone your contact information, your website, and your phone number?
Well, my website is www.lightharmonics, LightHarmonics.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can read our information is on the website or our telephone number in Santa Fe. We don't take calls in New York. Everybody books from Santa Fe
uh-huh.
and gets the information from here. And it's 505-989-4610.
Great. Okay, well, that's great. And, you know, my listeners are all across the country, actually, even, you know, anywhere, because it's the internet. So, so people will get in touch with you directly. And I thank you for coming on, and we'll have to have you on another time, because I didn't even get to talk about your school and what you're teaching there. So okay. Hopefully we'll do this again. And thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I still want that lunch date with you when you're in New York. Okay?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks a lot, Linda.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye now.
Okay, everybody. That's it for today. Have a great rest of the week. And I will see you next week. Bye-bye.